Loving God, thank you for ushering us into the Holy of Holies this morning, where we will open your word and give you thanks and praise that you've given us your word. We pray as we begin a new study today that you will inspire us. Lord, help us to, even from the introduction of James, draw instruction to apply to our lives. And Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is here. We thank you for the strength and encouragement that we receive from you. We pray that you will bless us to deal with life's challenges and, Lord, to be a blessing to the people in our lives dealing with challenges. We thank you so much for meeting us in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, today we embark on a new study, the book of James. And I just lost my place, didn't I? James, the study of James is going to take us right up to the week before, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So we're going to be here for, a little while. And today we're just going to set the scene for the whole study. But James is an interesting book, and one that I love that we did this song and learned this song because of the continuity between the testaments. You know, we so often struggle with the message of the Old Testament and the message of the New Testament. But really, there's a great continuity, and James, who we're going to find out more about, really had the position in Jerusalem of helping the church to really embrace that continuity. And you know, when we studied the book of Acts, there was a great challenge from within and without of the church to split the continuity and make it discontinuous and to write off a whole segment of the population. And that is not what God had in mind at all when he sent his son as a savior. There was not to be this, well, we're done with you and now we embrace you kind of thing that was typical of humanity. No way. God called us to something greater, something deeper, something higher, something holy. And so when we open his word and we get instruction for our lives, we are entered into the Holy of Holies. We are in God's presence. And so it's with that kind of, well, I tell you what, I tremble with fear because I'm teaching from the Holy of Holies. And I'm like, holy cow, I will be held accountable for this. But I want to say, I'm going to teach with all my heart because I believe and trust that the Lord's word is for us. And so let's dig in. We're going to be reminded in this book. Well, I think they looked at the whole book of James, and I hope you'll have a chance to keep reading through it. It's memorizable. Did you know that? I actually had the book of James memorized at one point. Yeah. If you knew this brain, what a steel trap all rusted out it is, you would say, no way. But it is. And people have looked at the whole work of the book of James and said, James was a preacher. And this is probably his notes. Somehow, notes from various messages or whatever. These are notes. Some have said that James is like our New Testament book of wisdom. So like the Proverbs of the Old Testament, James has these pithy little sayings and these helpful little sayings that help us. But there's structure to it. And there's an introduction, there's a midsection of teaching, and there's a conclusion. And the introduction and the conclusion kind of come back together. So good preachers do that. I'm still working on it. The introduction in James is it really calls for a need for patience and prayer in all contrasting circumstances in life. And then the middle section, or the conclusion, comes right back to the need for patience, prayer, and care in all contrasting circumstances of life. And the teaching part of it, we're going to look at our birth as Christians, our growth as Christians, and really the development of maturity that is expected. We're going to talk about the controlled tongue, care for the needy, and personal purity of life. So in this book, we'll be reminded that the Christian life is full of tribulations and challenges all the way to the end. So someone say, is life full of windy road uphill all the way? James would say, you betcha it is. And we can look at life and say, I think he's onto something. I think he's onto something. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Who wrote this letter? James. So there are three James in the New Testament. There's James, the son of Zebedee. James, the son of Zebedee, was the brother of John, and Jesus affectionately nicknamed those guys the sons of thunder. I think they were hot-tempered fishermen myself, and so that's how they got their nickname. But James, the son of Zebedee, was martyred in the year 44 AD. It's believed that this letter may have been written right around 48 AD. That would be a guess. So, probably not James, the son of Zebedee. Then there's James, the son of Alphaeus, who was listed among the 12 of Jesus' disciples. And his mom was one of the women who witnessed the crucifixion, according to the end of the book of Mark. So we don't know a lot about James, the son of Alphaeus, who is also known as James the Younger or Little James, but he's listed. James, the Lord's brother, that's who most scholars believe wrote this letter. James, the Lord's brother, is also James of Jerusalem, who was the leader of the church in Jerusalem. He's the one, when Paul had come back to the council in Jerusalem in Acts 15, he led that meeting. James led that meeting. And James worked hard to unite what was being, pushed apart or pulled apart. Paul was getting the pressure that unless they are circumcised, they can't be saved. And Paul said, no way. That's not the message to the Gentiles. The gospel went to the Gentiles free of any obligation other than faith in Christ. And James supported him from the church in Jerusalem with some instructions to say, be gentle about how we proceed forward. So honor the law in which we come from, but don't have to demand some of the things that the false teachers are demanding. And so that's the James who we believe wrote this letter. I settle on that simply because John Stott does. You could have guessed that. But I think James, the Lord's brother, is the son of Joseph and Mary. He's also known as James of Jerusalem. Involved in settling that dispute from Acts 15. Acts 15 was written around, or that the council in Jerusalem happened around 48 AD. So there's a lot of present day doubt about the authorship of this book. And so if you're reading commentaries and say, well, they don't say that James, the brother of Jesus, wrote this. Everybody has a right to their own understanding and study. And does it really matter who wrote it? Probably not. The words have been recorded in our scripture, and that's what's important. So whether it's James that we have an idea about or James that we know nothing about, it's written by James. That much is clear. The very thing, the author of this letter is James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So to whom is the letter written? To the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. So we had just seen in Revelation Jesus' use of this wording. The Israel of the Old Testament, you know, in the city of Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem that came down with all the foundations of the apostles and the foundations of the tribes of Israel and the gates of the apostles, something. Anyway, all 12 of the tribes and all 12 of the apostles were named and listed in this grand vision of heaven, which is always the end we're heading for. And James, I think, in writing this letter, is really saying, writing to Jewish believers, right? The 12 tribes is an indication of people with a connection to Israel. The Israel of the Old Testament has come into its fullness. And the reality of the Israel of the New Testament is coming into its fullness as well. So Jewish believers, yes, but more. So we say Jewish believers scattered among the nations. Absolutely. The fact that the people of God have been scattered among the nations is intentional. There were the Jews of the Promised Land and the Jews of the dispersion. And say, well, you know, oh, too bad they got scattered. No, not too bad. They got scattered on purpose to spread the influence of the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. And that's what James is, he's writing to those who are scattered around the world. This letter is as relevant this morning as it was when whoever wrote it, wrote it. So it's relevant. And so we say, the ones scattered among the nations, yes. But New Testament believers, the citizens of Christ, is who this letter is written to, living and influencing, having relationships with people, all people everywhere. The letter is written for us who are Christians in the world today. That's so. So we read this letter and we could jump to the conclusion, well, that was written for those who have a Jewish background. I'll say, you know what? If you're a Christian, in many ways you have a Jewish background. Our Lord and Savior grew up in the Jewish tradition. And His teachings kept the continuity of God's good law separate from the abuse and the terrible way it was oppressive that the leaders of the religious organizations oppressed people. Jesus separated that out, but He kept the continuity of God's word. And I love the book of James for that, the callback to this continuity. So, citizens of Christ, we are the recipients of James' letter. The nature of the letter. So James uses a lot of what we could say are homey illustrations. They're practical and personal. Down-to-earth teachings that we all can understand. He talks about horses and ships and fire and its influence and, lots of things. Very practical things. As we go through this study, you're going to say, oh, it makes sense. Wow, that's kind of personal, you know? And it is, it is. It's very practical and it's very personal. And it's primarily about relationships. James calls us to care for orphans and widows. He calls us to be impartial in our care for others, our love for our neighbors. Nothing less than love and compassion are to mark our relationships. Boy, I tell you, that's worth everything in itself. That this book is going to encourage us in our relationships and how we treat the people in our lives. I love that phrase that Nothing less than love and compassion are to mark our relationships with one another. And our love for ourselves. That's an interesting thing. We are so prone to toss out love for self as self-centeredness. There's a difference. Self-care is not necessarily self-centeredness. We need to take care of ourselves. We need to be conscious of what God's desire for us is and be willing to learn about our needs, our how to take care of ourselves. Because in the very opening words, James says he's a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. We, like James, are servants. And servants, you know, there comes a time when we can't serve any longer. But until that time, when we need to be cared for, we need to care for ourselves so that we can care for others. And so it isn't ungodly to have a good self-awareness and a good self-care plan, if you will. Okay. And the nature of the letter is that it affirms the deity of Christ. In the context of this letter, James uses the terms brethren, my beloved brethren, all throughout. And don't get hung up on the maleness of that use. He's saying brothers and sisters. The terminology means brothers and sisters in Christ. And he refers to us as family, with an intimacy of family. Really a call that we enjoy today as brothers and sisters in Christ is the nature of James' wording in this letter and his teaching. And his messages are to a beloved brother or sister in Christ. And so that's consistent all through the letter. You're going to read brethren or brother or my dear brothers or, you know, those kinds of things are going to be throughout the letter. While that's true, his own brother, who he grew up with, Jesus of Nazareth, the Jesus we know as our Lord and Savior, he refers to as the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, not, you know, the guy I grew up with, my buddy, my homeboy. He didn't say any of that. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he recognized the deity of Jesus, who actually lived in his own home. I think that speaks volumes to the message of the Bible that does emphasize the divinity of Christ, that he is God in the flesh, that he is God incarnate. And James affirms that in his opening statement. So, and like James, again, we are Christ's servants. That's important. Can you believe this? We are at the so what right now. Those you NFL fans are loving me right now. What happened? Well, this is just the intro, so don't get too excited. But so what? This book is addressed to God's children. In the opening verse of James' letter, we are identified in continuity with the Israel of the Old Testament. Okay? We are God's children, his chosen and beloved. And there's continuity in our journeys. It's uphill and winding all the way. In this call that I made yesterday, I had the distinct privilege of visiting a hospice patient for the first time who was... the terminology in hospice is actively dying. And to be able to go in and meet with the daughter of the patient, and then the granddaughter arrived and came in, and to pray at the bedside of someone I'd never met before, but to be able to speak to God our Father as family in the sacred space of her hospital bed, in her home. That sacred space was shared. And I got to step into that. And I want to tell you, as God's children, wherever you are, whoever you meet, you are on holy ground. You have been forgiven. Your lips are clean. You can go into the presence of anyone with God with you. And you can be a blessing. We are God's children. We are called and equipped to bless the people in our lives. And I say, even though I never had met these people until yesterday, they are the people in my lives. My life. I only have one life. But they are the people that I come in contact with, that in my journeying through life, they're my people. And so, I just am so honored to share God's good word with people as I go along in life. Secondly, it's addressing relationships. We will be challenged to work on and with the relationships that we have with ourselves, our neighbors, to the stranger, the sick, the orphan and widow, and on, and to plan our actions accordingly. We are going to be addressing relationships in this very practical and personal book. And that excites me, to think that between now and Thanksgiving, we are going to be personally encouraged and challenged to consider the people in our lives. To ask God, what do you want to do with me in this relationship? How do you want me to respond to the needs of the people in my life? Those are questions that are live discussion with our Heavenly Father. He loves us. He wants to equip us to be a blessing. And finally, it is Scripture. The book of James is in the Bible. There were those who read through and said, there's not enough Jesus in here. I'm throwing it out. Boy, did they miss it. Did they miss the point on that? This is nothing but Jesus. This is James reflecting the teaching of his Lord and Savior, who happened to be a guy who grew up in the same home with him, who happened to call Mary and Joseph mom and dad just like Jesus did. And it's all about, so it's Scripture to be obeyed. James is God's written word to us as children. And may we find ourselves encouraged in this book to grow toward Christ-likeness in all of our relationships. And that's really where I want to stop with this. And say, you know, this morning we're going to take the opportunity to come to our relationship as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ in the reflection of His reminder of what He did, what He paid for us to be children of God, servants of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ with James, the author of this letter, and everyone who calls God their Father. So we're going to commune together. And let's just pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for James. Thank you for the setting the scene for what's ahead. But thank you for this moment in our lives to come to your holy table, to be reminded of the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So Jesus of Nazareth, the person who grew up alongside James, his brother, in the same home with Mary and Joseph, the living Jesus, we honor and remember as fulfilling God's mission to go to the cross, to be brutally beaten and nailed up to die. Not just to die, but died on the cross. And then to be brought down and buried, dead and buried. Our Lord Jesus, dead and buried, rose from the dead, conquered death, and reminds us today of his broken body and shed blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we say thank you. We humbly come to participate in the communion, to take these elements, and to remember. In Jesus' name, amen.